You know, there's a lot of questions you're going to have through life. There's only one book you can depend upon to always be the truth. And the more that you get willing to go into that book, the more successful you'll be in life. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, two places, John chapter 16 and Genesis chapter 24. Some people say, well, Mother's Day, we're going to have a message on mothers, but no, it's not going to exactly be on mothers, but it's going to be with a future mother here, but it's one of the great love stories in the Bible. And there are several of them in the Bible you get into. When you see Jacob and Rachel and what he went through to get her, remember Ruth and Boaz. And then, of course, this morning we want to look at Isaac and Rebecca. But I want to show you a couple things, but keep your finger in Genesis chapter 24 and go with me to John chapter 16 a minute. And I want to read a couple verses. In John chapter 16, and I want you to listen very carefully, because the truth that we're going to bring out today is of most vital importance. Jesus is fixing to go. He's preparing his disciples for the fact that he's going to be gone. And by the way, folks, from the time that he left, it began the last days. Whether you realize it or not, and I know some people say, well, I don't believe we're living in the last days. The last days began when Jesus left here. We're living in the latter days of the last days. But before Jesus left, he wanted to tell his disciples that he was going to leave. His bodily presence was going to be in heaven. But he was going to send forth the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Now, look if you would in chapter 16 and verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteous, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Now notice verse 13. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in what? All truth, for he shall not speak of who? Himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Did you get that? And he shall glorify who? Me. Jesus said, now when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to speak of me. Now let me say something real quickly right here. There's a lot of people that says, and they exalt the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. But the Holy Ghost did not come, and he's not come, and he's not dealing right now to exalt himself. There's a lot of things done in quote, in the Spirit, that's not of the Spirit at all. What the Holy Ghost is sent to do is exalt Jesus. Lift him up before you. And let you see what a prize we have in Jesus. That's the whole key. Now look on. He says, he shall glorify, in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me, and again, a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now turn, if you would, in Genesis chapter 24. This morning we want to look at the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Now there's four main characters here. I want you to get this, and I'll bring a truth in a minute. One is Abraham. Abraham, Sarah, Abraham's wife has died. Abraham's getting old. He wants a wife a bride for his son before he dies. And so what he does is, Abraham is a type of the Father, God the Father. And so what he does is he sends his servant. He does not want a wife from the Canaanites. He wants him to go back to his people and get a wife. And therefore he is to go and he is compelled them to come with him when he finds the bride. The servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. And he's to go and he's to find this woman. This woman, the bride, is a type of the church. Sinners saved by the grace of God. And so the servant is sent in search of the bride to bring it back to the son. Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son in whom he loved. Isaac was a type of Jesus. Now keep that in mind this morning, and let's see a truth here in just a moment. But begin reading with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 24. And notice, if you would, in verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master, and she was old, and said unto him, hath he given all that he hath? My master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, now remember, this is a servant, so I said to my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. He said, well, what if I go and ask her to come? She won't come. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred in my father's house. And thou shalt, then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. If they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear of my oath. In other words, he said, when you go, you compel them to come, and they're not going to come, you're clear. You've done your job. You've done your task. Look in verse 42. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she'll say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. Now, so what happened was, the servant went, and it was like 500 miles. He went to find this bride. And he went to the place where Abraham was from. And so when he got there, the servant got to the well, and he said, okay. He said, God, I'm going to need your help. This is what I want you to do. Give me a sign. When the right woman comes for the son of Isaac, Abraham's son, I want you to do this. I want her to offer me something to drink, but not only me something to drink, but offer my camel something to drink. Then I will know it's her. And sure enough, as he was there, here come Rebecca coming along with her pot. And when she came, he asked her for a drink, and she offered him a drink, and she also offered to give his camels a drink. And then he asked, whose family are you from? And it just happened to be Abraham's great niece. It was his brother's granddaughter. And so here, it was of the family of Abraham. And she did just what the servant had asked God. And so when she gave him something to drink, he gave her an earring, he gave her a bracelet. Then he asked to go to their house. And then he went to her house. And he met with Laban and them. He met with her dad. In verse 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord, we cannot speak unto thee bad or good, when he told him what he'd been sent to do. And behold, Rebekah is before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Verse 53, And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. Now notice that Rebekah got them, and he gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and the men that were with them, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning. He said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10, after that she should go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Now notice verse 54. If you got a pencil, underline a couple places here. And they called Rebekah, and they said unto her, underline this, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, what? I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and their nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his man. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of them which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, stay right there a minute. I'm going to get back. But I want you to understand a couple of things. When this servant come and he explained who Abraham was. He explained who his master was. He also explained who the son was. He told her of the wealth of the son. He told her of the son himself, and he spoke of him in high praises. And therefore, he also brought great riches in which he could deliver to her if she wanted to go. And so what happened was she had never seen the son. She didn't know what the son would think of her. Here she was going to go on a journey, 500 miles. To see someone she had never personally seen. She'd only heard about. But she'd heard about him, and in hearing about him, she fell in love with him. She was willing to commit. Even though she hadn't seen him, she's willing to commit her love to him. Looking forward to a time when she would look upon his face. The one that was going to show her such grace and bring her into a life of wealth and prosperity. And she was going to be used to be the mother of many thousands through the nation that God established through Abraham. And she was going to be part of that family of God. And yet she had never seen him, but yet she had to commit. And so when she was put up with a question. Will you go? Will you go with this man? She said, I'll go. You see, she had to move. She had to be willing to make a move. She had to be willing to trust and she had to be willing to believe in something that she had never seen before. All because the servant told her what it was like. He told her what it would be like to see Isaac. What it would be like to be married to Isaac. What Isaac had waiting on her when he got there. And how that Isaac would love her and care for her. But yet here there's this woman, this little virgin girl. She met this servant. And before she met the servant, she'd never heard. She didn't know anything about Isaac. And all of a sudden he revealed about this man. And he was inviting her to go and be married to this man. You say, well, that didn't take much. Being that he was rich. But see, she only had the word of the servant. Now look on back in your Bibles and notice what happened. The Bible said in verse 62, And Isaac came from the way of the well of the Haroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil, and she covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he what? Loved her. And Isaac was what? Comforted after his mother's death. Get this typology of this scripture. Notice that it took great faith for Rebekah to go with this servant. See, all she knew was she knew that this servant had gifts that he bestowed upon her. And he wanted her to go with him to meet the son. The good thing about it was she didn't have to make the journey by herself. The servant was going to be with her the whole time until she got to see the son for the first time in her life. This is a great example of how it is to be saved. God, the Bible says, from the foundation of the world, he chose Jesus, the Son of God, would come. Now let me say this, and I want you to get this. Sometimes people say, "Preacher, I have a hard time understanding what it is to be saved." And I want you to get this. I'm going to try and make it simple. There is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three of those are three different divine beings. They are one in everything that they go about to do. They never disagree with each other. Their purposes are never different. They're all collectively, perfectly inclined to do everything exactly together. Amen. When the Bible says these three are one, that's what it's talking about. They are union. They are united together. That's why when the Bible says that a husband and wife, they being twain, become one, it's not that they actually blend to be one person, but they are in unity together. And they should be for one purpose, one goal, united in what they're trying to achieve. Well, sometimes husbands and wives don't, but God always does. And so from the foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve was ever made, God knew that they would come and they would sin. And he knew that there would have to be a Savior come, and he knew that Jesus was going to be that Savior. The Bible says from the foundation of the world that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was already slain. It's already determined that he would come and die for the sins of the world. And so what happened was, when the time came, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made of a virgin. And he come and he lived upon this earth and he went to the cross of Calvary and he died. And then when he got through dying, he resurrected. And he met with his disciples and he told them, "Tarry here, I've got to go." And he'd already told them in John chapter 16 of the comfort that was going to come. And he says, when he comes, he's going to come and he's going to tell you about me. I'm going to go be with the Father. And so therefore, you know, when Jesus resurrected, Thomas said, "I'll not believe he's resurrected unless I see him, unless I touch the nail prints in his side and in his hands." And you know what? When Jesus appeared before him, he fell down and he said, "My Lord, my God." And he said, "Thomas, you have believed because you've seen. Blessed are those that's going to believe that's never going to see, that haven't seen." And so therefore, what he said was, he said, "I'm going to go be with the Father, but the Holy Ghost is going to be sent. He is going to send, and he's like the servant. His purpose right now, the Holy Ghost has one purpose, main purpose upon this earth. He is gathering the bride for Jesus. He has been sent, and what he does is he takes the word of God. When we preach it, he doesn't go down. He doesn't build up Billy Miller. He doesn't build up Bobby Morrow. He doesn't build up somebody else. He only lifts one person up. That's Jesus. He exalts Jesus, and Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. What happens is this. Even though you don't understand all about Jesus, you can't understand all about the virgin birth, you can't understand how the Son of God come, how he died on the cross, you can't understand all the issues about those things, but when the Holy Ghost comes, he will tell you some things about Jesus that you never knew. He will reveal to you about Jesus and the greatness of Jesus. He will lift him up before your eyes and tell you what a catch it would be if you would choose to go with you. And he will bid you to come. Now, the Bible says, what if they don't come? He said, well, you've done your part. And somebody said, well, preacher, how many times is he going to ask me to come? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Whenever you hear his voice, you better come. Because he may pass that way and never come again. That's why he says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear, let him open up. I'll come in and sup with him and me. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is sent right now. It's coming and he's bidding. He said, come. You want to be part of a bride? When you come and you join this, you will be a royal family. He's got gifts. And by the way, he says, if you'll come, I'm going to give you some gifts. And you don't have to worry about the journey. Yes, the journey's going to be long, 500 miles. She got on a camel and she rode with him, 500 miles. But he said, you don't have to worry because I'm going to be with you. And he bids us to come. You say, preacher, I don't know. You just don't know who I am. God does. And when the Holy Spirit bids you come, he's willing to accept you. Those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. He's bidding you come. He's wanting you to come. You say, well, what will Jesus think about me? He will love you. When he sees you and when you see him, you will be like him. We do not yet know what we will be, but we know this, that when we shall see him, we shall be like him. But look here. So here we go. He's coming. He's bidding us to come. Would you like to be a part of the bride of the Lamb of God, the Son of God? He said, preacher, I don't know. It's hard to believe all that. That's why the Holy Spirit comes. When he speaks, he makes it so real. And he paints a picture. And in your mind and in your heart, you've already fell in love with Jesus, yet you've never seen him. Nobody's seen him. All you've got is what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to you from the truth. And he bids you to come. And the journey, it may seem long, but I tell you what, when you keep your eyes looking forward to seeing him, the journey just don't go that hard. Because you keep thinking, yes, I'm getting tired of riding in this hot sun through this desert sands, but you know what? What a joy it's going to be when I see the sun. And then I'm going to be in a place that he has prepared for me. And I'm going to go, and when I see him, I wonder what he'll think of me, but when I see him, my journey's going to be over. And all my troubles and trials, with his riches and all the things he's got, I'm going to be well taken care of. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit of God bids you to come. You know the sad part about it is? Some people said, preacher, I just can't hardly believe it enough to come. What a shame. Because one of these days, now look here, those of us who have come, there's not a one of us that's ever seen Jesus. We've only seen what the Holy Spirit of God has revealed to us. He tells us about him, and he's the greatest human being. He's above all other people that's ever lived. But now we're on a journey. And when we get there, we're going to finally see Jesus. And he's going to surpass anything that we ever thought he would look like. His love for us is going to be greater than any love we ever even thought about, anybody loving us. What he hath prepared for us, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. What he's got prepared at the end of our journey. Now get this. Can you imagine never being cold again? Amen. Never having an illness again. No more pain. No more sickness. No more aging. No more parting. No more wants. Never being dissatisfied again. You say, preacher, how do you know that's true? Because the servant has told me. And I believe the servant. He's revealed truth to me. What a time it will be when we are married and the marriage of the Lamb takes place. The Bible describes that in Revelation chapter 19. And those of us that was willing to come when the servant said, would you come? You said, well, preacher, will there be some that would be left behind that was bid to come? Yes. Because whosoever will, let them come. There's some that's going, that he said, come, and they said, we don't want to come right now. Later. A more convenient season. I just don't believe what you're saying. What a shame to miss out on what is waiting ahead. But now get this. Look back in verse 58. And I'll close right here. Look back in verse 58 real quickly. The Bible says, and they called Rebekah, and they said unto her, what? What did they say? Wilt thou go with this man? Can I ask you a question this morning? If his servant, the Holy Ghost, is here this morning, bidding you to come, lifting up Jesus before your eyes and said, would you like to be saved? Would you like to be part of the family of God? Would you like to have this son and marry him someday and be joint heirs with everything that he has? If so, you need to come. But you've got to be willing to come. She said, I will go. What is your answer this morning? Isn't it going to be a shame for those who's left behind? Wouldn't it be terrible? And you know, in hell, one of the greatest agonies there's going to be in hell is remembering the day when the servant said, come on, you go with me too. Come. And he showed you Jesus. He said, come, go with me. And you said, I believe I'll pass. That's going to agonize you throughout eternity. Today, if you're hearing his voice, would you come? The Holy Spirit of God has been sent until Jesus comes back to bid people to come and be part of his bride. Would you come this morning as we stand?